Well, we're going to look at how the church started in Philippi and that lovely letter to the Philippians. Have you ever wondered how the first church started in your area? Interesting, I'm sure, to find out how. Well, it's very interesting to find out how the church started in Philippi. Would you, first of all, before we turn to Philippians, go to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, please, if you will. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to read a few verses in this rather long chapter. Just a few, not many. Acts chapter 16. Let's start from the beginning at verse 1. Then he, that's Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees or the doctrines to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, would you go on to verse 9 and 10? A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So that was guidance of the Lord, wasn't it? After he had seen the vision, verse 10, immediately he resolved to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Verse 12, from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Now down to carry on to verse 15. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women there who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. When she and her husband household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she constrained us. Down to verse 22. There had been a real row, of course, in the streets as they were preaching, and Paul cast out the evil spirit from this girl. So that caused a row among the leaders as well. But verse 22, a multitude rose up together against them, that's Paul and his friends, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded these to be beaten with rods. When they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. Down to verse 40. You see what happened. We'd better read on, I think, from Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. After that, they were beaten up, smashed up, put in a deeper prison, dragged there, and they were praising the Lord at midnight and singing hymns. Verse 26. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What a question. so that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. I took them the same hour of the night to wash their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And of course, there was a complaint about Paul saying, well, I'm a Roman citizen, you put me in prison wrongly. And so verse 40, the last verse, 40, so they went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So if you like, there are two homes, the homes of the Philippian jailer who was saved and his family, and Lydia, very clearly she was saved too. So here are two homes, and this is where the church in Philippi started. It was quite remarkable, wasn't it? Now, Paul and Silas have been traveling to different towns or cities all around the area. But if you look, please, in chapter 16 of Acts, look from verses 6 to 12 with me, would you? Focus on, it was the Lord's will without a doubt to have a church established in this Roman colony of Philippi, the city. Look again at verse 6, please, would you? Verse 6 of chapter 16 of Acts. When they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. Rather disobedient, wasn't it? But the Spirit did not permit them. Now, we don't know how that worked. Maybe it's a very strong conviction. We don't know. Maybe there's a prophet on the scene. We don't know. But the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, verse 9. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After they had seen the vision, they immediately sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel to them. So there was very, very clear guidance by the Lord to direct Paul and his friends, Timothy, Silas, over to Philippi. And it was the Lord's purpose to get a church started there. We know that initially he met Lydia, and then the encounter with the Philippian jailer. So it's clearly the Lord's purpose a church should be started there in Philippi. And you can see in verse 12 of Acts 16, look at verse 12 of Acts 16. From there they went, showing from Troas, verse 11, to Thamasite and Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying there in that city for some days. So it was God's purpose. The Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul and his friends to go to Philippi, and there to preach the gospel. And you can see the rest of it in Acts 16, what actually happened. And the church was established. A fellowship was there in the city of Philippi. Notice the real guidance of the Holy Spirit, very clear to them. And for each one of us, how practical is this for you and for me? Well, there's stops and starts and steps. For every Christian is ordered by the Lord if we are sensitive to him. Both the stops, he didn't let Paul go where he wanted originally to go. The Holy Spirit said no, however that was. And Paul started on a redirection of his journey. He started in another direction, perceiving that the Lord would do a work there in Philippi, which he did. So that was quite remarkable, wasn't it? The steps and the stops are ordered by the Lord, and so are his starts in a new area. Well, that happens from time to time to all of us, but all this is a training ground of the Lord for our lives. Now, clearly, the Apostle Paul had to be aware of the Holy Spirit's guidance. Maybe they had a prophet with them. We don't know what it was back in the first century. We don't know. But so often, the Lord's guidance was very precise and specific. And I believe that's true of every Christian. Changes come into our lives, redirections come into our lives, but only when we're clear that it's right from the Lord. You mustn't take a whim here and a whim there. We don't know. And we have to serve where we are sent. Now, you might have lived in the Bournemouth area. I don't know. I believe Eamon lived up in Worcester. Nigel was from South Africa. Perhaps Robert and Brenda, maybe born in this area, Mary. But no, I wasn't. But the Lord clearly brought me down here, without any doubt about that. And the Lord does redirect our steps. And when he redirects us, we are to follow his pathway when we are sure that it's right. I was asked to come to Bournemouth a year before we did, but I said no. It didn't seem right to me. But after 12 months, it was very clear on that. So there was a guidance of the Lord, the action of the Holy Spirit, directing the Lord's ways for his people. So there's no doubt about it. The stops and the starts and our steps are ordered by the Lord when we are listening and when we want to be obedient. So that's true for every one of us, isn't it? Everyone individually, that is true. Guidance of the Holy Spirit was clear for Paul here and his friends from verses 6 to 12. Now, in other words, you and I are called to serve where we are sent. So would you just go back a bit to Acts 8? Go back to Acts 8 if you've got your Bibles open, I hope. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Let's read from verse 14 of Acts chapter 8. Read on a bit as well. From verse 14, we'll read on. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God up in the north, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But yet had not fallen upon none of them. They didn't be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's by John the Baptist. Don't get confused over that. Read on a bit further down. This is when they met Simon, and he was a bit of a fraud. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. See the guidance here. Saying, arise and go towards the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's very precise. Go down south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Reading on, 27. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under candidates, the queen of Ethiopians, were charged of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he's probably a Jew. And was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Must have been a reading in the temple, maybe. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit up with him, sit there with him. The place in the scripture which he read was Isaiah 53, you know it. He was led as a lamb. Sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before his shearer. So he did not open his mouth, Jesus. For in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. For we declare his generation, where his life is taken from you, the death of Jesus on the cross. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say he is? Of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said to him, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. But Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and believed and baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The same word there, harpazo, as a rapture. Feel like he raptured him away back to where he was. That's what that means. He harpazoed him away. Yeah, so he was, and the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. So there's a remarkable guidance of one man to one other man. And this is probably the first occasion where the gospel came to Ethiopia. Interesting, that is it. So that's true enough. Would you go on from just wondering about the scriptures to Romans chapter 8? Go to Romans chapter 8 with me. And verse 14. And this is true for us all. It was true for Paul. It was true of the disciple Philip. That's true for us. Romans 8 and verse 14. Look in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The leading of the Holy Spirit, the directing of our circumstances. How does the Holy Spirit guide us? Have you ever thought about that? How does the Holy Spirit guide us? Well, he guides us certainly through our circumstances. He guides us through the Word of God, particularly. He guides us through our close Christian friends who know us well. And last of all, we are convinced ourselves. Our emotions can get involved here, so that's the least reliable. Word of God, close Christian friends, our circumstances, and ourselves. When they all point in the same direction, that's the way to go. It happened to us when we came down to Bournemouth, way back now, long time ago. I'm sure that happens to me, it's happened to you as well, I dare say, how you were guided very clearly. Look elsewhere. Look back at Acts chapter 13 with me, or in the book of Acts. Go back to chapter 13, please. This is at the church at Antioch. Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, were there. You can see that verse 1 of chapter 13, read 1 and 2. Now, in the church there was Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, that's who the prophet, now separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and then sent them away obediently. So there's a clear guidance of the Holy Spirit, in this case, through a prophet of the early church, without any doubt. That's what happened there. Now, have you ever heard of the missionary called Adoniram Judson? You may have. Adoniram Judson. Well, he was a missionary who went to India. Yeah, when he was in India, he felt this was not the right place. He thought it was. So that when he went there, he was asking, well, Lord, why is it? What's the matter here? And as if the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, no doubt as well, and the directing of his circumstances, and he was aware that the Lord was constraining him and his wife to go beyond India to Burma, which is sort of the next country over. And he was there for a long time. And much results came from him preaching the gospel in Burma because he was obedient to the direction of the Holy Spirit and the Lord ministering to him. That's just one example. When Margaret and I went to Australia back in 1991, a long time ago now, my family were putting together the costs for Margaret's 50th birthday, and they bought tickets for us to go to Australia and back. And so we stayed with Margaret's sister in Melbourne in Australia. And that must have been the Lord, as I discovered, for both of us. The opportunities that came to me when I was in Melbourne were amazing. I was able to speak to the Middle Eastern congregation there in Melbourne, and in the Arab Christian church there in Melbourne. Opportunities were amazing. But simply because my family are prompted by the Lord, I presume, to send us to Australia and have the Lord use us over there in Australia. It was quite amazing. So it's just where the Lord will guide our steps in one way or another. It may be dramatic. It may seem very ordinary. Well, they're not really ordinary. But nevertheless, So if we're willing to know the way ahead, now you don't have to go out of Bournemouth, that isn't what I'm saying, but as the Lord directs your steps within your life here in Bournemouth area, as you desire to serve the Lord and be available for him, as we were indeed in Australia and elsewhere. So, you see, in some cases, we have our plans. Man proposes his way ahead, but then the Lord can change things. Man proposes, but God disposes, sends us in maybe in a different direction. So now when we go, if you go back to Acts with me, would you please? Acts chapter 16. Now the Lord wanted, without any doubt at all, he wanted a church to start in Philippi. It was a Roman colony, wasn't easy. Lots of Roman soldiers and camps around, and they're pretty tough. A Roman soldier could command any citizen of the town he lived in to carry his case an extra mile. That's where the phrase comes, go the extra mile. After a 1 mile, the Roman soldier would stop, put his pack down and say to someone, carry that for me for a mile. And he had to. Going the second mile, you see? That's where that comes from. Well, in Acts chapter 16, now we come, if you like, look at verse 9 again. Acts 16, verse 9. See, Paul wanted to go into Asia, verse 6, but he was not allowed to go. Maybe there's a prophet redirecting him not to go there. He was forbidden. So they tried to go to Athenia, verse 9. Verse 7, no, the Spirit did not permit them. How, we don't know. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he'd seen the vision, immediately he was to go to Macedonia, Corinth, that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel together. Here's the guidance of the Lord, precise. And they ended up in Philippi, where the Lord wanted the church fellowship and witness started in Philippi. The Lord was directing his ways, fulfilling his own plans. So really quite remarkable, isn't it? See, Paul was forbidden to go into Asia, or Asia Minor, not China or India, Asia Minor. But the Lord said, no, you're not going. You're going to where I send you. So he met Lydia. Lydia became a Christian. She opened up her home to Paul, Silas, and friends there, opened up a hospitality, and a church was formed in her home. Later on, as you know, in Acts 16, they were put in prison wrongfully, earthquake there, and the Philippine jailer was going to kill himself, and he was saved, and he gave hospitality to Paul and Silas when they were beaten up, looked after them, gave them food. So the church was started there. It was the Lord's purpose to find a church, started a church right there and then, in the home of Lydia and in the home of the Philippian jailer and his family. Remarkable how the Lord will guide. That's how the Holy Spirit, maybe through a prophet in that first century, guided the Apostle Paul and his friend to go to Philippi. And if, as you believe, and I believe, the Lord guides us in our daily circumstances where we live, he has a reason for that. Maybe in witness, maybe in fellowship, maybe the Lord can help us to grow, mature in Christ. It's all part of his plans for every one of us. So you've got Lydia, a woman from Thyatira, she was saved. The Philippian jailer, he was saved. And isn't it amazing? The Lord brought Lydia from where she lived in Thyatira, way over in Asia Minor, that was. She came from Asia Minor to Philippi. But Paul wasn't allowed to go to Thyatira and Asia, and the Lord brought this Lydia woman to him, where he was. That's how the Lord does these things, isn't it? Amazing. The Lord brought Lydia to where Paul was. Paul wasn't allowed to go where Lydia had been. He would have missed her because she was coming to where he was. He would have missed her for sure. But that's the way the Lord guided us. So a plan of God, his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. His plans are higher than ours. But as we walk with the Lord, He will direct our paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Wonderful, in the Psalms, of course. Well, that's remarkable, isn't it? So even though Paul and Silas were there ready, available to go and preach in Philippi, yet they encountered hostility, as you know. And they ended up in prison, in the stocks. They were beaten up in the inner prison. And yet the Lord set them all free by an earthquake in that city. God in action. I know we can't see things as clear and dramatic as that. The Lord may guide us in very quiet circumstances, but that's still his guidance. He was very dramatic, wasn't he? So that's the way the Lord guides us. And Paul even met this woman, this young woman. Look in verse 16, if you're still with me, in Acts 16, look in verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. As we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Girl followed Paul and us, 17. Cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. She did this for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her, Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. When the master saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and started dragging him into the marketplace, and they ended, of course, in prison, as you know. Now, this was apparently this evil spirit. Believe it or not, this evil spirit was called a python spirit. Whoa, snake. Wow. It's like Kundalini, a snake in the spine. Terrible stuff. Oh, there you are. So that's, here was this woman. She had this evil spirit cast out. And when the Lord works, you can be sure the devil will. He's the one who opposes us. But he's a loser. And the Lord is the winner. You must never forget that. But he was still hinder our, he tried to hinder Paul, as you know, in his missionary journeys and in his ministry. Satan has hindered me, he said. Well, the Lord overcame it, but still there was a problem, wasn't it? So when they were in Philippi, the Lord opened up two homes. The home of Lydia and the home of the jailer. And their families, and show Paul hospitality. And the Lord established a church in Philippi according to his own purposes and his own will. He wanted the church started right there, right in the center of a city of a Roman colony where Roman soldiers were there. The Lord does his work even in the midst of evil days, like he's working today. So that's what happened. The Philippian jailer was converted. Lydia was converted. Her heart was opened by the Lord. That's very quietly. Notice the contrast. There was a tremendous event of the earthquake, which opened the doors of the Philippian jail. But with Lydia, the Lord opened up her heart quietly. Different circumstances for different people. That's how it is. I don't know how you came to the Lord for salvation. I don't know. Some people come through very difficult circumstances, often through violence. Some people come through very quietly to trust the Lord. He works in both ways. I don't know what your testimony is, but here you've got two people very often. The Lord opened up gently the heart of Lydia, but he has dramatic circumstances to win the heart of this tough Philippian jailer who would have killed himself. Because the prisoners got out, the Romans would put him to death. That's why he tried to do it. Paul said, no, don't touch him. We're all here. So there he was. So remember that. And the apostle Paul was there. He was in this prison. But he was in the very place where the Lord wanted the church started in Philippi. And we're soon going to start the letter at the Philippians there. Remarkable, isn't it? And in Philippians, it's a very rich letter. I'd like, if you will, just for a few minutes, just turn to it. I've nearly finished, but just turn to it for a moment, would you? Go to Philippians chapter 1, just a beginning. Just 10 minutes, no more. Now, remember the background of how the churches started? Well, two homes, a church, two homes. Lydia and the Philippian jailer. I wonder what the Philippian jailer did about a job, because he would have lost his job, for sure. And life might have been under threat as well from the Romans. Well, we don't know any more about him. But he was a faithful man of God, and the Lord would look after him. Philippians, look in chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Philippians. Just look a couple of verses here. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints who are there in the church at grown in Philippi. That's where the Lord wanted the church to be, so it will grow. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops or elders, preferably elders, and the deacons. So the church had been well established. Many people were there. Out from among them were those able to take leadership. So the church must have been going a little while by the time this, maybe it was a few years, not many, while all this church was established and there was elders and leaders among them. He says, here's his greetings. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul remembers. He remembers a time when he was in prison, beaten up with Silas in the jail, and how they were miraculously released and two homes established for the gospel, two house churches, if you like. And he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, verse 1, who are in Philippi with the leaders and the deacons, a well-established fellowship of believers, growing in numbers as well. That was the will of the Lord. He wanted a church started there in Philippi. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship, verse 5, in the gospel from this first day until now. So how Paul appreciated being able to go to Philippi, experiencing their blessing, the hospitality. Now, we don't know how many times he went there. We don't know. But he thanks God in remembering all these dear Christians who looked after him and responded to his teaching. And the church was well established in Philippi. And we have this glorious letter to the Christians at Philippi, Philippians. We'll go through Philippians and be blessed by its content. So there was leadership there, well established. The church was growing. That was the Lord's design. He wanted it. A witness started in the Roman colony of Philippi amongst hostilities. He wanted a witness to start the gospel, and many were saved. And Paul thanks him in every remembrance of these Christians. How wonderful. And he says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. There must be many times you went to Philippi. We don't know much more. I thank God for them, for their faithful support, for their faithful response to his ministry and preaching the gospel and teaching the church, building the church up, people added to the church, establishing leadership reliably, and those who could teach as well as lead under the Lord's authority. And he thanks God for them every time. I make prayer for you. Every time I have a prayer time, I think of you all. Well, that must have made quite an impact on the Apostle Paul. I wonder whether people make such an impact on you that you pray for them regularly. Or me. I just thought about that. People make a big impact on me in their Christian life and my Christian life. Then I pray for them regularly. I'm sure you do the same thing. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, verse 3. Always in every prayer, always in every prayer. How about that then? Of mine, making requests for you with all joy. It filled his heart with joy, these Christians responding to his care and teaching. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day, from the very beginning until now, as I said in verse 5, being confident, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the day when the Lord comes to his church. The Lord will go on and he will establish the church in Philippi. I wonder if there's a church there now. I don't know. Nearly 2,000 years onwards, I don't know if there is or not. But certainly then, for a long time, there was a witness, there was a fellowship of the saints there. And here in those days, the Apostle Paul was filled with joy as he remembered them faithfully in his prayer times. And the Lord was blessing him as well. I was confident that the work that was begun there by the Apostle Paul in Philippi, work by the Holy Spirit, I must say, using Paul and Silas in Philippi, a work was established. I don't know how long, how many hundreds of years. I don't know the history of Philippi. I don't know. But he remembers these Christians with so much thanksgiving, so much joy, because they responded in love and care for him and responded in the preaching and teaching of the word. That's a healthy Christian church, isn't it? I hope we're like this, a healthy Christian fellowship. Very important. And he says, I'm confident. Verse 6, I'll finally finish here. In verse 6, he says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And verse 7, I finish with verse 7, is right for me to think of this, you of you all, because I have you in my heart. How many Christians have impressed you that you remember them regularly in prayer? As I said that before, how many Christians have responded to me in friendship and Christian love and fellowship that I remember them regularly in prayer out of Christian love for them? And there's a real unity there. I hope that's true for you. It was for the Apostle Paul. I pray, mine says, every prayer of mine, every prayer, I make requests for you with joy. He remembered them joyfully. I hope your Christian fellowship and my Christian fellowship gives us joy. I hope so. It did the Apostle Paul. And he said, he who begun this work in you will complete it until the Lord comes to his church. Well, I don't know the background of what Philippi is like now. I have no idea if it still exists. But he says, I do think of you all. Verse 7. It is right, he said, it's right for me to think of you. Of course it is. They bless Paul so much. He says, it's right for me to think of you like this, because I have you in my heart, as much as both in my chains, when he was in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers with me of this grace. I finish here. Partakers, taking part in common Christian fellowship, in the gospel, in prayer, in teaching, in witness, in fellowship, in hospitality. That impressed Paul of the dear Christians in Philippi. Now, how does that speak to you and me? Is our fellowship, is our hospitality, Christian love, prayer, care for each one of us, it makes us have real joy, a sense of deep belonging to other Christians? I hope so. It certainly was for the Apostle Paul. He remembered these Christians with joy every time he prayed. That was such an effect upon the Apostle Paul for these lovely Christians of Philippi. Started by the Lord, direction of the Holy Spirit, a church was formed there, and eventually that gave great joy to the Apostle Paul whenever he visited them. I hope our church's fellowship is like that. I hope our friendships are like that. I hope our care and love and affection for each other is like that, and hospitality. I hope it's like that, because that binds people together in Christ. It binds people together in Christ, and that is so vital. I especially say so because in these last days, it's difficult. Difficult. We Christians are clearly separate from what we want to be from the world around us. We're on our own. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And we're on our way home, dear friends. We know where we're headed. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. When you think of Lydia, think of the church of Philippi, what it meant to the Apostle Paul. Does that Christian fellowship mean a lot to you like it did to the Apostle Paul? I hope so. It does me. Thank you. We carry on Philippians next week.